indicating that we're less happy than we used to be, suggests a profound malaise at the heart of Western society and modern notions of progress. The reason we no longer feel as happy as we once did is that the intimacy on which our self-being rests is in decline. The rise of individualism has made one's own need the ultimate justification for everything. We have become less intimate with the most fundamental emotions, without which we cannot understand the meaning of life. There are no peaks without troughs. Life becomes shopping. And life is indeed, for many, shopping. Let me throw at you some facts and figures. Shopping is thought to be the nation's second most popular pastime after watching television. I used Meadowhall or Meadowhell as a case study, and I found what I think are some pretty unsurprising, yet pretty alarming statistics. The location for Meadowhall was carefully chosen due to its accessibility. Over 8.2 million people are with a one-hour drive of Meadowhall. Of those who use Meadowhall as their regular retail therapy outlet, 70% are women, 54% are aged between 25 and 44. The average group size, I'm going to put a few statistics up on here because otherwise you'll just hear numbers and it won't help you at all. The average group size who visit is 2.1 people. And this is all from the Meadowhall website. And the average off-peak spend per visit, per group, is £106.91. That's £50.90 per visitor per visit. And that raises to £85.71 at peak times such as Christmas. Well, I heard some, but that doesn't necessarily sound too bad until you find out that the average Meadowhall customer visits Meadowhall 55 times per year, more than once a week. Now, I reckon that that works out with the average annual spend just at Meadowhall for the average customer being about £2,900 a year, if we say that five visits are made at peak times such as birthdays, Christmas, whatever. But when an average household spends £406 a week, £55 of it being spent at Meadowhall sounds to me quite a lot. And no doubt these figures can be replicated amongst any of the major kind of shopping areas in any city. It's estimated that as many as 3-8% of the population could suffer from an addiction to shopping. And according to a shopping addiction specialist, this figure is almost exclusively made up of women. Yes. And a recent survey by the BBC estimated that the average person wastes £1,725 in unused products each year. £1,725 in unused products each year. Well, we are definitely living in a consumer culture, aren't we? As a nation, we do indeed love to shop. Now, I've thrown these statistics at you in order to try and paint you a picture. A picture of the shopping mindset that is a huge part of our culture. I guess the question we need to ask is, why is shopping such big business? Well, I want to suggest several reasons, and I'm sure there are plenty more. I don't proclaim to be the kind of final word on this, but these are just some of my observations and some of the ideas that I've had. Firstly, we use shopping to fill a hole in our lives. Martin Jacks said, due to our individualistic mindset, as a nation, we are more unhappy than we've ever been. And so we find ourselves going shopping in order to fill what it is that's missing and to revive that happiness. Adrian Barker, a shopping addiction specialist, says, shopping addiction is not to do with things, but with narcissism. It comes from a sense of being depleted and impoverished. There's an endless search for objects to satisfy a sense of inner longing or hunger. Just take a look at this video clip. Cheers, mate. There's me with my shoes. And I feel happy. There's me with my plasma screen telly, and I feel happy. We often use shopping as a self-help exercise, don't we? Which we saw in the clip actually ends up making us feel worse. We have guilt, or we have to worry about the debt that we find ourselves in. Well, so that's the first reason. The second reason that I believe we're so shopping orientated is due to the pressure that we face to fit in. This is one of the great paradoxes of our society. Whilst, as we heard in the last Culture Explored, we desperately try to isolate ourselves, living our lives as individualists, at the same time, we're desperately trying to fit into a diverse culture. But we need to belong, and so we spend in order to gel with the crowd. We buy the clothes associated to whatever subculture we're attracted to. Or we buy the music, the books, the equipment, or whatever it is that gets us in. But as with most things in our society, these subcultures and their associated trends, their looks, their music styles, they're all transient. They don't last. And so only a few months later, what we bought to fit in is no longer cool. We dump it and we move on, spending more cash as we go. The second reason. The third reason that I think we've become a nation of shoppers is down to our change in attitude towards credit. 20 years ago, if we couldn't afford it, we didn't buy it. However, today, with the vast amount of store cards, interest-free credit, finance deals, bank loans, and credit cards that we can get, incidentally, there are over 1,700 different types of credit card in the UK, it means that we no longer have to save for things. We can buy now, worry later. Fourthly, something has to be said about the influence that advertising has on us. In 1 year, we will see 30,000 adverts. That works out at 83 a day. Staggering, isn't it? 83 adverts a day. They pop up everywhere, don't they? I'm living proof. Just watch this.
Oh. Well, Wayne will understand that right away.
Not.
Excuse me.
I mean, there was two Darren Stevens, right? Dick York, Dick Sargent.
Yeah, right, as if we wouldn't notice.
Well, hold on. Dick York, Dick Sargent, Sergeant York. Wow, that's weird.
Wayne. Listen, we need to have a talk about Vanderhoff. The fact is, he's the sponsor. And you signed a contract guaranteeing him certain concessions, one of them being a spot on the show.
Well, that's where I see things just a little differently. Contract or no, I will not bow to any sponsor.
Sorry, you feel that way, but basically it's the nature of the beast.
Maybe I'm wrong on this one, but for me, the beast doesn't include selling out.
Garth, you know what I'm talking about, right?
It's like people only do things because they get paid. And that's just really sad.
I can't talk about it anymore. It's giving me a headache.
Here, take two of these.
Ah, new print. Little. Yellow. Different.
Look, you can stay here in the big leagues and play by the rules, or you can go back to the farm club and roar. It's your choice.
Yes. And it's the choice of a new generation.
It may be funny, but product placement and advertising is all around us, isn't it? We're bombarded by adverts everywhere we look. And the adverts play on our insecurities, don't they? Our looks, our health, our image, our popularity, our lifestyle. So the next time we go shopping and see whatever it was that was advertised, out come the cards and we shop away. Once again, filling the void, trying to make us happy. Well, that's kind of my thoughts on culture, on consumerism. I'm going to go on to the consequences in a little bit, but before we do that, it's over to you for some time discussion. I'll put some questions up on the board. It'd be great if you could just get into twos or threes around you and just chat some of those things through. Over to you. Just got 2 minutes. 30 seconds left. Okay, that's it, that's time. What do people think? Is what I've outlined a fair critique? Go easy if it's not. But do you think that is a fair thing, a fair way of outlining it? Is there anything anybody would want to add, take away?
We spend more on petrol than we do on third world aid.
There you go. I'll add that for my next time I do it. Thank you. Yeah. It's quite scary, isn't it?
Yeah.
Can anybody in your discussions, did you think of any other reasons for us being so consumer orientated?
We always get this kind of like, well, buy this, get one free, or three for two. You haven't won anything that's in the 3 for 2, but it's 3 for 2, so you'll buy 3 of them.
Yeah.
Whatever it is.
Did people hear that? But, yeah. Thank you. That's very true. We get sucked in, don't we? The internet. It's very easy just to click a button, isn't it?
Peer pressure as well,
then,
comes to passion.
Hmm.
Yep.
Yeah. And that's the thing that's in and out of the news at the moment. There's lots of discussions about advertising for towards children.
Only should be banned from adverts.
Sorry?
The word only for children, especially,
is
only
£59.90. Yeah. So you write your letter. What about some of the other consequences? Can anybody think of? Can I ask you?
Round about Christmas, little Johnny wants his PlayStation 800, so mum doesn't spend it on a credit card, and then dad has to go out and work an 80-hour week, and he goes to the family to break it.
Hmm. Yeah. Definitely.
When you haven't got money to spend, or when you can't buy what you need, then you kind of get depressed and you might.
Yeah. A dependence.
Usually depends on the environment. We live in a throwaway culture.
Yeah.
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 All the plastic that we use. It's true. Well, I'm going to go on. We're going to look at the consequences now, and I've outlined just a few of them. They are just a few. I'm sure there are plenty of others. So again, use your own brains and think of some of the other consequences. The first consequence that I think is that because of our consumer mindset, our lives become choice orientated. Take for example a simple soft drink. You can now buy in several different containers and sizes: Coke, Diet Coke, caffeine-free Coke, vanilla Coke, Diet Vanilla Coke, lemon Coke, lime Coke, Pepsi, Diet Pepsi, clear Pepsi, Pepsi Max, supermarket cola, roller cola, panda cola, Quibbler cola. And I'm sure I can highly recommend Quibbler cola. We had it on our Gamma Team weekend away. It was fantastic. And I'm sure you can think of many others. You just need to go into a supermarket, don't you, and see just the shelves full of choice. And it's the same with nearly anything. Just go into a shop and you have a choice to make. We can pick and choose whatever we like. And if we choose something we don't like, we chuck it away and start again. Choose something else. Of course, there are loads and loads of advantages to consumer choice, don't get me wrong. But it does begin to affect our entire life. We become so used to choice in some things that we expect it in everything. Our entire life, our relationships, our communities, our churches, our jobs, everything. Life just becomes a supermarket. One big pick and mix. Secondly, we become impulsive in our decisions. Because of the availability of credit and the attitude of, if I want it, I'll have it, we have, or at least we believe we have, the flexibility to become impulsive. Advertisers will tell you that 70% of our consumer purchases are bought on impulse. And again, this impulsiveness slowly begins to affect our entire life. We give less and less time to thinking things through. We make our decisions on the spot without considering the facts or the consequences. And it can cause us all sorts of problems, can't it? I'm sure you can think of mistakes you've made because of a decision that you've made on impulse. Thirdly, related to this impulsive nature of society, comes the I want it all and I want it now mentality. We're becoming more and more impatient. As I said, the credit has meant that we no longer have to wait to buy something we want. We can buy it now, worry later. And again, this impatient, we want it all now attitude works itself out in many other aspects of our life. We expect instant results from our new government or football manager or employee. We want the perfect relationship instantly without having to work at it. We get liposuction so that we get instant weight loss. The age of digital technology means we can have instant photos. We get broadband so that we can have instant downloads. We have microwave dinners and instant coffee. Our consumer-driven culture has contributed to us being an impatient, now-driven society. And finally, the fourth consequence of consumerism is that we may just get unhappier. As we saw from the clip earlier on, buying things may bring about that instant moment of pleasure, that instant high that Angela was talking about. But ultimately, it doesn't help. And in many cases, we just end up having a bigger low. We just end up more unhappy. We worry about the massive debt that we find ourselves in, or how we're going to tell our partner, our husband, our wife, our kids that we've spent their pocket money, or whatever. We worry about it. Incidentally, money matters account for 70% of relationship breakdowns. Somewhere within a relationship breakdown, 70% comes down to money. So how does the Bible speak into our consumer world? What can we learn from this about our spending habits? Well, that's what we're going to spend the rest of our time thinking through. And I think Jamie and Lex are going to come to and read for us. So if you want to grab your Bibles, open up at Matthew 6. It's page 978.
Okay, it's Matthew 6, 19 to 24. Okay. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body, so if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money.
The second reading is on page 1196. It's 1 Timothy Chapter 6, verses 17 to 21. As for the rich in the present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. There are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up the treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is truly life. O Timothy, guard the deposit entrusted to you. Avoid the irreverent babble and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge, for by professing it some have swerved from the faith. Grace be with you.
Do keep your Bibles open. We'll be looking at both those passages, so you might want to keep a finger in page 978, which is the Matthew one. So what does the Bible have to say about our consumer culture? Well, the first thing that I think we learn from the Bible related to consumerism is that being rich and therefore buying things, because what else do we accumulate riches for other than for what it allows us to buy, isn't necessarily wrong in itself. Being rich isn't necessarily wrong in itself. Look down at 1 Timothy 6, verse 17, page 1196. As for the rich in this present age, Paul, who is the writer of this letter to Timothy, he here writes specific instructions for the wealthy in Timothy's church. And nowhere does he say that the rich are to give up their riches and become poor. Paul allows those in Timothy's church to remain rich. However, both Paul, writing to Timothy, and Jesus in our other reading, are concerned with our attitude to our riches. It's the attitude that they're concerned with. And that's the second thing that we're going to learn from the Bible. We must not allow our desire for riches to become our master. Flip back with me, will you, to our first reading, Matthew 6 and verse 24, page 979. No one can serve, this is verse 24, yeah. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. The actual word used in the original, where our translation puts money, is a word that says mammon. And if you follow the footnote down, you'll see that it can actually mean money or possessions. And I guess that this is where we may be most challenged. We can't serve two masters. What or who are we devoted to? What or who forms our priorities? Are we going to make the time to study God's word, share the gospel, pray, meet with others? Or are we going to take that overtime because it means I can get my new kitchen sooner? Would we sacrifice our 5-bedroom house with a nice garden in order to move into a 2-bedroom apartment in West Wan so that we can meet people and teach them about Jesus and grow God's church? Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that we shouldn't do overtime or that we should all sell our houses and move into S1. That's not what I'm saying. My question is, well, actually, Jesus' question is, what or who is our master? What or who is the focus of our being? What, to use the language of Paul in our first reading, is our hope in? Jesus makes it very black and white, doesn't he? We cannot serve both God and possessions. When our life's falling apart, do we cry out in prayer to our sovereign God, who we know answers prayer? Or do we pick up our MasterCard and go on a shopping spree? Do we spend more time reading the Bible, God's Word, or our next directory or IKEA catalogue? When we hear about the latest thing that's designed to make our life better, do we rush out and buy in the hope that we'll find fulfilment, acceptance from others and happiness? Or are we content with what we have? 1 Timothy 6:7, just across the page from our previous reading, says we brought nothing into the world and we cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. Have we been mastered by our desire for material possession or a huge bank balance? Or are we content with what we have? Who is our master? So the second thing that the Bible tells us is don't let consumerism master you. Make sure your first love is God. And the reason that we're told this isn't because actually God wants us to stop having fun in life. It's not because he wants us to live in poverty. In fact, it's quite the opposite. Verse 17 of our second reading there, 1 Timothy, tells us that to set our hope on God, it tells us to set our hope on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. God isn't against us enjoying life. God actually wants us to have life and have it to the full. He wants us to experience real life. He wants us to experience that real life eternally. And that's my final point tonight. The Bible tells us to have an eternal perspective on consumerism. The Bible tells us to have an eternal perspective on consumerism. Both the passages we've looked at tonight talk not only of today, but also of the future. 1 Timothy 6, verse 17, talks of the present age, and verse 19, the future. Matthew 6 talks of laying up treasures today on earth that are going to rot in the future, or laying them up in heaven where they'll last. And within the context of this looking to the future, 1 Timothy 6:17 reminds the rich not to put their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God. We know, don't we, that riches will eventually let us down. Whether it's our money that devalues with inflation, Our cars that rust, our clothes that rip or worse get dyed pink in the wash. Our technology that's out of date within 6 months, our CDs that scratch, our houses that leak, our mobiles that get stolen. And for all the money we'll spend, eventually whatever we buy will be no good to us. The question is, will it die first or will we die first? After all, as we heard from verse 7, we brought nothing into the world and we cannot take anything out of the world. So Paul's instruction to the rich not to put their hope in the uncertainty of riches is common sense, isn't it? Why trust something that's ultimately going to let you down? Instead, he says, put your hope on God. And more specifically, as we find out elsewhere in the Bible, put your hope in Jesus Christ, his death and his resurrection. It's all the 1 Peter stuff that we've been studying this term. We've been looking through 1 Peter. Just quickly turn to it, if you don't mind. It's page 1219, 1 Peter 1. Page 1219. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his great mercy. This is from verse 3. He has caused us to be born again into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you. A living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. You see, what's the point in being mastered by riches? Putting our hope in something that's going to let us down, that's going to break, get stolen, fade away, gain us nothing, whether in life or death. Instead, the Bible says, have an eternal perspective. Put your hope in God. Allow him to be your master. That's the safest and wisest investment that you'll make. Whilst it may or may not mean that you're surrounded by material possessions and loads of money now, eternally you have the inheritance of eternal life in heaven, or as Jesus himself describes it, in paradise. John 3:16 says, whoever believes, in other words, whoever puts their trust in Jesus, will not perish but have eternal life. And then verse 18 goes on, but whoever does not believe is condemned. So the question, I guess, from this culture explored, this consumerism, the question for today isn't, can I or can't I spend money? Can I or can't I buy that thing? Instead, it's, who's going to be your master? God or possessions? Are you going to be mastered by your desire for things, trying to make heaven on earth with possessions and lose it all when you die? Or are you going to trust God, allow him to be your master, and gain that inheritance of heaven that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading? Well, I guess that's the question that you've got to ask yourselves. If you want to know more about Christianity, if you want to know more about putting your trust in Jesus, then do come and speak to me or Tim or anybody around you. Or you might be interested in signing up for Christianity Explored course. I think it started last week, but I think you can still get in if you want to. So do see Tim about that, if you want to know more about this eternal hope that Christians have. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the rich blessings that you give each one of us. We thank you for your great love for us, your great love of life, and the fact that you want us to enjoy life to the full and eternally. Heavenly Father, help us to enjoy the things you provide for us, to enjoy the things that you give us. But help us to be good stewards, good, wise people, making sure, Lord, that you are our master in every decision that we make, that you are our king. Help us not to be mastered by possessions, by wealth, by clothes, by cars, by whatever it may be. But help us always to be focused on you. Amen.